Hall, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, May 21st, 1903. Dear Sister Hall, Sarah has just read me your letter to her and to us all. I am very thankful to my Heavenly Father that my health continues to improve. I have much writing to do, and I am glad that I can put the instruction given me into the form of books and send these books on their mission to enlighten the world. The Lord is soon to come, and I must be prepared to meet him in peace. I am sure that the world is ripening for the last great conflict. I am determined to do all in my power to impart light to those around me. I am not to be sad but cheerful, and I am to keep the Lord Jesus ever before me. He is coming soon, and we must be ready and waiting for his appearing. Oh, how glorious it will be to see him and be saved through his merits. Long we have waited, but our faith is not to become weak. It is to grow stronger as we see the signs of the times fulfilling. The end is near, and we are to put all our energies into the work of preparing to move from this lower school to the school above. I am presenting my case before the Lord for his special blessing. We must have his presence with us constantly. We need it here, in our home, in our office, and in the heart of every worker. I must be cheerful, and although I feel sorrow of heart as I think of how little earnest work is done for the saving of souls, and how much we all need the converting power of God, I dare not put on a doleful, complaining aspect. We must face the Son of Righteousness. We must do our very best. We must pray and then believe that our prayers will be answered. Let us not cherish a complaining spirit. We love Jesus, and we know that he loves us, poor, failing, sinful human beings. Let us praise him for his goodness and his mercy. We are his property, and it is our privilege to rejoice in his love. Marion has been very sick, something as you were when you were with us. One evening while she was at conference, she went to the observatory with a party of friends. The evening was very cold, and she became thoroughly chilled. The next day she was quite sick. We sent her at once to the sanitarium, and she has been there ever since. She has had a severe illness. For a time she was in a very critical condition. It was doubtful whether she would live. She coughed almost constantly and could not eat. For a while she had a day and night nurse. She is better now. Her cough has almost gone. When the weather is favorable, she walks out in the garden and greatly enjoys picking the roses. But she does not dare to return home yet, for she finds that she cannot do without radiant heat. This always relieves her cough. I can assure you that we miss her very much. We need her to complete the preparation of the book on temperance. But I fear that she will not be able to work for some time. I am doing what I can to answer the letters that come to me, and to send needed instruction to the workers in Australia, Africa, and other parts of the world. The other day I received letters from two sisters in despondency, and these I answered at once. I always give such letters immediate attention, trying to write that which will inspire faith and hope and courage. We are doing what we can to reach those in darkness. Every other Sabbath, a song service is held in the soldiers' home at Yountville, a town about 9 miles from here. In this home, there are hundreds of aged soldiers who are supported by the state. Our people have held meetings there for some time. The company who go drive over. Most of the time is spent in singing, and often a 30-minute talk is given on some Bible subject. Papers and books are taken to give to those who wish them. The soldiers greatly enjoy these meetings, and several are becoming interested. All who attend earnestly request that the meetings shall be continued. Some have seen my name in the papers and books given them, and they are calling for me to come and speak to them. I should go next Sabbath, but I cannot, for I have promised to speak at the sanitarium at 11 o'clock. I have not dared to tax my strength in speaking, for I carry a heavy burden all the time for other lines of work. My writing must be attended to. My books must be prepared for publication. There are many opportunities for missionary work among the people round us. 6 miles from the sanitarium, there is a wood chopper's camp where many men are working. We shall go there sometime and speak to the men. We intend to carry the truth into the highways and byways. The seeds of truth are to be sown beside all waters. Brother Taylor has just called to invite me to speak at the sanitarium tomorrow. He says that at present the highest priced rooms in the institution are filled with a most excellent class of patients.
We think that we now have at the sanitarium the help that we need in physicians. Brother and Sister Evans take very well with the patients. They take a deep interest in the patients. They sympathize with them, and the patients love them. We have some back sets that we cannot help. Several weeks ago, a sister came to the sanitarium from San Francisco, sick. Her sickness was found to be what is called Manila itch, a mild form of smallpox. This is the disease that Ella and Mabel had while we were in the East last year. The sister was quarantined in a tent at some distance from the sanitarium, and a nurse was sent to take care of her. But it was not long before the nurse caught the disease, and then, knowing that Mabel had had the disease, the doctors asked her if she would look after these two patients. She said that she would, and she has now been with them 3 weeks. The tent in which they live is not far from Elder Taylor's house, so they are not alone. This case had to be reported, and it caused several patients to leave the sanitarium. Mr. Blackman, one of our neighbors, has been ailing for some time with stomach trouble. He is not a Sabbath keeper, you know, and he thought much of Dr. Burke. About a week ago, he was taken very sick, and he went to Dr. Burke's sanitarium. But he lived only for a few days after going there, and died with no Christian hope. This made me feel very sad. He little thought when he left his home that he would never see it again. The warning comes to us to be ready should death call us unexpectedly. This poor man was not ready. Old age and infirmities have come upon me, and I want to live near to my Saviour. I want to cling close to his side. I want to do the will of my Heavenly Father. I want to remember constantly that our life is pure only when we are under the control of God, and happy only when we hold communion with him. All the lustre possessed by those who have gained the richest experience is but the reflection of the light of the Sun of Righteousness. He who lives nearest to Jesus shines the brightest. And let us thank God that the Master has his hidden ones, who are not recognized by the world, but whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The luster of the tiniest gem in God's casket will glorify him. There are many, like your sister Eleanor, who during this life do not seem to be particularly honored. But the Lord sees those who serve him. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Malachi 3, verse 17. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. Verse 18. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Malachi 4, verse 1 and 2. I am so glad that we have a God who understands, a God who will reward every man according as his works shall be. I have just come up from evening worship. Our lesson chapter was the 84th Psalm, which contains these words. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Verses 1 and 2. I long to see Christians who are harmonious in all their parts. It is so sad to see those whose lives are a jumble of opposites. Christians must be Christ-like. The life of a true, lovable Christian is the most powerful argument that can be produced in favor of the gospel. Sister Hall, let us not worry. I was pleased with your cheerfulness when you were with us. I feel the greatest pleasure in the thought that we shall be together again soon, and that the old times will be renewed. We shall enjoy each other's society. We have both lived a very active, earnest life. If we can now ripen for the higher life, it will mean everything to us. You have not lived to please or exalt yourself, and I hope that you will now feel that you have done enough struggling to help others, and that you can enjoy peace and quietude and the sweet satisfaction of knowing that you have done what you could, and that the Lord will reward you according to your works.
Be of good courage, Sister Hall. Our warfare is almost over. We can both rest in the assurance that we are His workmanship. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Do not for a minute suppose that the Lord will forget your unselfish labors. During our lives, the conflict has been sharp and severe. We can recall how again and again we have been pressed down to the grinding wheel. But let us never forget that if we can but see the King in His beauty, we shall be forever and forever blessed. I feel as if I must cry out aloud, Homeward bound! We are nearing the time when Christ shall come in power and great glory. Be of good courage in the Lord.